This MusicInSports.net spotlight is brought to you by Piano Finders, member of the National Association of Music Merchants. Karen Lyle with you again, and we're going to hear from Barry Zito, three-time All-Star, great player, two-time World Series champion, Cy Young Award winner, who pitched 15 seasons from the Oakland A's and San Francisco Giants. In preparation for his life after baseball, Barry dove into the national music scene and now has an album titled No Secrets.
I guess my heart, it lied to me. It told me, yeah, that I could be the one to just move on. Tell me why these feelings are so strong enough to...
Barry came from a musical family. His dad was an arranger, conductor, and bandleader for Nat King Cole.
My father would write out the parts for each person in the band. One of the best stories, I think, for Nat, though, was there's a famous song called Nature Boy, which is, you know, it's a jazz standard now, and it's been cut by many people. And my father and Nat were hanging out. I believe they were on the road, and somebody came up to Nat and said, hey, Nat, there's this kind of strange-looking man who has this song that he wants to play for you. And, you know, Nat was a really great guy, and Nat said, you know, all right, well, let's see what he's got. And it was the guy who wrote Nature Boy, who I believe was homeless at the time. And he came in and played it on piano and sang it. And my father and Nat and a couple other people were around the piano. And Nat loved it so much that he cut it. And that song, you know, from that day forward has gone on to be a huge song.
Barry took his guitar with him when he was on the road.
For me, music was always an escape. It was something that I would do to clear my head. I would just be home playing acoustic guitar. I started playing when I was 21. And I knew I was going to be in hotels and things like that playing baseball. And So for me, it was come home, play at night, you know, play on the road, bring the guitar, do those types of things. And, you know, it took many years to become proficient enough to actually start playing other people's music and things I could hear on the radio. But no matter what skill level I was at, it always created this catharsis for me.
Music and sports are connected for Barry.
There's a lot of similarities between pitching and music. I mean, you have to get your self-consciousness completely out of there. And stay in what you're doing. And when you're performing on stage, I mean, it's about giving. It's not about receiving something from someone. And, you know, that for me is, it's a challenge every time I do it, but that's why I love it. And, you know, telling a story set to melody is probably the coolest thing you can do when you can touch someone's heart and make somebody feel like they can relate to a story that you wrote about yourself and or your life. You know, things are universal in that.
Thanks so much, Barry. This is Karen Lyle with you here on MusicInSports.net Spotlight. Special thanks to our sponsor, Piano Finders, a NAM member bringing these stories to music and sports fans globally on Sports Byline USA.
All right, that music, and it's 9:40 on a Tuesday. It can only mean one thing. Free dance lessons. No, it means we're checking in with our friend Karen Lyle from SalesportTalk.com, who will co-host this segment with me. And Karen, how are we doing today?
We're doing great. How did you know that I can give you free dance lessons?
Ah, how about that? Well,
why not? If I can't get you on a sailboat, maybe I can get you on the dance floor, right?
But you got me to a Warrior game. I appreciated that.
That was pretty cool.
That was very cool. And then your buddy Nick Nurse was on my show for an hour.
I know. And he gave us the tickets to that game.
I know. Nick Nurse hooked us up. And then his brother, Dick Doctor, gave me some cough medicine. All right. Enough of that. You know what? Whenever I think of sailing, I think of your uncle. Tell me more.
You do not think of my uncle when you think of sailing. But I was in the New York Yacht Club. You remember when I called you from there in June. And one of the oldest businesses that I have is Piano Finders. And it's a piano rebuilding and brokerage company. But over the years, we've done a lot of piano appraisals, like about 3,500 of them. And many of them have, well not many, a percentage of them have been pianos that were owned by famous people. And a lot of those things are done under non-disclosure agreements where I can't talk about what I did. So I was there in Manhattan and also doing some research in the Yale Beinecke Library which I can't talk about yet, not yet, because there's a piano that will come on the market for quite a sum of money that when it's sold, then I can talk about what I did. But I was in the New York Yacht Club as a guest of the Vice Commodore, and I was doing some auxiliary research, and I happened to run across this really wonderful newly released video about John Lennon and in New York, and it had in it this clip of him in Los Angeles. And it was 1974, and it showed him with Phil Spector and Harry Nilsson. And I went, oh, my gosh, this is the answer to the question we've been looking at, because Tony Terran is a Wrecking Crew member. And for those of you know about the Wrecking Crew, right, Rick?
I don't. I just know they knocked buildings down.
Well, it was a name, kind of a name given after the fact to a bunch of L.A. Session musicians who were kind of the top A-list players. And my uncle was a trumpet player. He was a good friend of Desi Arnaz and was the lead trumpet player in the I Love Lucy show and all the Carol Burnett shows. And anyway, they played in the sessions. So sessions are recording sessions that happen in, you know, all the, for the film scoring and all the different, I mean, if I were to read off this royalty statement that I have from my uncle, I'm going to show on Twitch. Now, see, if you were here in the studio and I wasn't having to.
Oh, you just outed me.
I did. I did. I came in, I dressed all up, and you're going to have to look on Twitch to see that I dressed all up.
You just outed me.
I did. But see, the thing, so I guess there was, looking at this, you've got Madonna, Elvis Presley, Neil Diamond, Linda Ronstadt. She was in the studio. I saw her signature on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And
big fan of Linda Ronstadt.
Oh yeah, she's great. Her makeup artist just did my makeup for a film I did over in the Metropolitan Club with the two soloists from the San Francisco Ballet. And then there's Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra and Harry Nilsson, John Travolta, Dean Martin, Glenn Campbell, etc. Michael Jackson, the Jackson Five. I'm looking at the royalty statement. My cousin gave me. But my uncle's not with us anymore, so we can't ask him questions.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. But he passed away in 2017. Anyway, so the Wrecking Crew, they were these musicians who would play on the records, but their names were not on the albums. So the Bee Gees, you know, all of the beginning of Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass, the demo album. My uncle was on all of these. He was on Jonathan Livingston Siegel. He was that trumpet solo for Neil Diamond. But his name was not on the albums, as a lot of other musicians in Hollywood's names were not on there, because what would happen is while the bands were on tour, the session musicians would come in and they'd lay down all the tracks, and then the singer would come in, fly in just to record the vocals. But the tracks were done by these really hotshot musicians. And most of the time they did get royalties, but sometimes the royalties actually didn't get recorded. So it wasn't just their name not being mentioned, but it was also the fact that they didn't get paid other than that gig the royalties that everybody else would have gotten paid. And when it was kind of a big scandal when people found out that that some of the things that were played on the albums were not, that the band members couldn't play those particular licks. And there's a movie that Tommy Tedesco did that's on Netflix called The Wrecking Crew, and it's Wrecking. And then later the Rock Walk did a handprint, because Glenn Campbell was one of those people who kind of crossed over from being a session musician to also being a name star artist. There's kind of different tiers there.
Okay, and then tell me again, Uncle Terry, how did he fit in with all these famous people?
You mean Tony?
Well, Tony Terran.
Tony Terran, yes. So he was the trumpet player. He played, you know, he was a soloist, and, you know, he was actually started out being buddies with Desi and Lucy Arnaz. They actually traveled the world with the Desi Arnaz Orchestra. And so he was behind the scenes. He was, he was on the camera too. So unlike some of the Wrecking Crew members who were session musicians of all different instruments, he was on the screen as a soloist as well as doing these things behind the scenes. I remember going with him in Los Angeles to some of his sessions, like when he was when John Williams was scoring a film, and they have the big soundstage, and they have a whole orchestra there in the soundstage, and they show the film up in frames up above, and John Williams was down below. He was conducting the orchestra, you know, from this frame to that frame in this particular section of the music. They would perform it and record it and then go to the next frame and so forth. So I got to see some of those behind-the-scenes things.
Now, to make it a little bit sailing, tell me about the Garmin radios and how those kind of tie into listening to music on the ship.
Well, you know, usually when I go sailing, I'm not always listening to music, but most of our boats have Garmin radios on them if they're, you know, a boat of a certain size or more. And so Garmin actually carries the apps that Sports Byline is carried on. So the Sports Byline channel is in a lot of boats. And now people, of course, have the radios that can just hook into TuneIn or the TuneIn app or the iHeartRadio app and be able to drive the radio on the boat. So you can be hearing any of this music that comes, so anything that you're listening to music that's anywhere from the 1950s to, you know, up till about 2000, Madonna and so forth, then you're going to be listening to probably something that my uncle is playing the trumpet on.
Very cool. Now tell me this, Stevie Keys, is that really his last name?
No, it's Steve Roseman, actually. And I have a call out to Steve. So Steve and I met because he was a piano salesman in San Francisco, and I didn't really realize at the time that he had been the pianist on tour with Journey in the 1990s. But I was listening to some of the sessions that John Lennon and Harry Nilsson did in this 1974 recording of the Pussycats album that my uncle, that turns out that my uncle was also playing on that. When they had Ringo Starr and John Lennon and George Harrison. Anyway, there was a session that Paul McCartney did. It just was a jam session. And now online, there's recordings of this. And I was listening to the recording, and in it, John Lennon says, "Hey, Stevie Keys, can you play such and such?" And I'm going, "Stevie? Really? Wow, that's my friend. You know, we've known each other for like 40 years and just never had that conversation." So it's always a little bit coming up about surprise about how our past connect.
Very cool. And then, of course, you and I growing up, the biggest, best variety show of all time, Carol Burnett, and Uncle T was there too, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was looking at the, if you go to Wikipedia and you look at my uncle, Tony Terran, T-E-R-R-A-N, you'll see there's a list. An IMDb listed. There's like 250 episodes of Carol Burnett, and all the people that came on that show, that was amazing. But I used to watch it all the time when I was growing up. That was one of my favorite shows. I love Carol Burnett.
"I'm so glad we had this time together."
That's right.
She'd pull on her ear. A Wikipedia page is pretty cool. What would you like the people to know about Uncle Tony that maybe you know and the rest of us don't know?
Well, at his memorial service, which was in 2017, many of the musicians that played with him came and spoke, and they told stories on him, right? And one of the stories was that he was the man who always knew where the free food was. because in, you know, you now a lot of the sessions are recorded where people are in their own home studios and they're just laying down tracks and sending them in digitally. But at the time my uncle was playing, there might have been five or six different things going on, and my uncle would go from place to place. So he might play something, you know, for a movie on one soundstage, you know, from you know, 8 to 10 and then pop over to another sound stage for another studio from 10 to 12 and then get you know, a gig during lunch. And then he might do as many as 5 sessions in a day. And so usually every sound stage or recording studio has a refrigerator, and it has certain shelves on it that the food is, it's okay for the musicians to have some of that food, but it's not always known because, you know, it's just one of those things. So he would always know. And that was what the other musicians remembered as a funny story. They said, you know, if you needed to some free food, you just talk to Tony. He can show you exactly where to find it.
Yeah. And we're showing our age, too, that we both know what Jonathan Livingston Seagull is.
I know. Well, I was like 12 years old or, I don't know, younger, maybe 8. I don't know. Maybe I was 3.
It was pretty groundbreaking, yet very simple, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. No, I thought that was, I was a Beatles fan, too. I had cousins that were older than me, and so I wasn't a teenager when the Beatles were there, you know, doing their thing. But
right. So before we let you go, what can people find at salesporttalk.com right now?
Well, right now, they're going to find a picture, you know, a little excerpt and a link to Tony Terran's website. They can listen to him playing with Duke Ellington or the solo he did on I Love Lucy or, you know, some of the things by flipping on over to his website from our Salesport Talk. And I just did a little intro to some of the things about him. But, hey, my uncle was a great guy. Very, never gossiped, never told stories on people, just... he was a good musician. He just practiced, and he was always there, always on time, and did what he was supposed to do. And so he got to do an awful lot of fun things.
Very sweet. I can hear the love for your uncle in your voice. Karen Lyle, SalesportTalk.com. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for not coming in, Rick.
Oh, my gosh. Three times. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we will come on back on Sports Byline.